Good afternoon, Peterborough. My name is Evan Robbins, Trent Radio's full-time broadcast journalist through the Local Journalism Initiative, and you are listening to Switchboard, the show that keeps you plugged in to all of the news and people of note at the place of the end of the rapids. It's a normal episode of Switchboard. Sorry to disappoint. If you listened to the show last week, you might remember that last week I played a full 30 minutes exploring Peterborough's green waste facility at the Municipal Waste Disposal and Diversion Center on Bensford Road. Me and my friend and colleague David King had gone there on July 21st for a tour of that facility to see how the organics program works, how the city diverts green waste from your green bin to a sort of organic or a municipal scale organics program, following every step of the process from when the waste gets into the center and is sorted, desiccated, and put into, you know, these piles of organic waste that are then processed at an industrial scale to speed up the decomposition process and ultimately be turned into compost, like soil, pretty much. So that was a really cool episode to do. I really enjoyed the opportunity of getting to go out to the municipal compost facility on a very hot, a very humid day, not unlike today, kind of warm, kind of rainy, kind of overcast. And I think that not only was the tour itself fun, just because, you know, like, I am a radio journalist. I jump at the opportunity to do stories that have a very audible quality to them. And I think that all of the humming machinery, all of the, you know, trucks backing up and pulling in, and the hiss of the steam coming out of their hydraulics, the purr of the fans, it made for really compelling radio to me. And it was really, really, really engaging to edit. I also grew up watching Mighty Machines, so as I'm sure many people my age in this part of Canada did, so I kind of feel like, in some respects, when I do stories that involve either heavy machinery or like municipal logistical services of some kind, I wind up trying to do, in effect, my own take on the Mighty Machines format. So that was fun. But this week we are not playing a full 29 minutes. We're not devoting all of that and more to discussing just one topic. Instead, I am here to walk you through, you know, some news, get back into the rhythm of doing this show live and of doing this show, you know, in the alternating formats of news recap and live interview, because you might have noticed that my audio production slowed somewhat over the month of July. And by slowed, I still mean like there were weeks where I posted 5 stories, sure. But to me, at least, it always felt like, oh, you know, this is a bit of a slower month. And the reason for that is because I spent a lot of July interviewing municipal candidates and working on longer form stories, much like that of the compost program. I actually just finished a story today. I got back yesterday from the open house at Trent University's Farm Research Center, which is out on, I think it's Nassau Mills Road, on Pioneer Road, leading out of the city of Peterborough. And that is where the School of Environmental Science has all of their, like, experimental farm projects, which is to say things like working with herbicides, pesticides, fertilizers, like different kinds of crop rotation, different kinds of crop irrigation, and tile drainage of soy fields. It's all like very technical stuff that I admit some of it is certainly almost undeniably beyond me. But it was a very cool opportunity to go out there and sort of see what's what, how those kinds of institutions work. And I think that is also going to make for very good radio. But I bring that up because the final file is 18 minutes long, which I'm sure my editor, Eddie Sweeney, might not appreciate. But, you know, that's a tomorrow problem, as with so many things. Today, what I was thinking we would talk about instead is Peterborough City Council. As I said, I've spent most of July interviewing municipal candidates. I've interviewed between like half a dozen and, you know, if we're talking municipal candidates that I've already interviewed several on nominations day way back in May. And I've interviewed five of the six mayoral candidates that are currently registered to run. I've already interviewed a bunch of those, but what I've been doing over the course of July is catching up with all of the people who have registered for the race in the interim. And I'm working on a project to attempt to sort of collate interviews with different candidates to distill their platforms, their personalities into a couple of questions as best I can, and to present that in a sort of meet the candidates programming block that we are in discussions to have a special programming block sometime later this summer, probably like end of August, to keep people, you know, informed about who is running in the elections, what they stand for, etc. So obviously, because I'm just one producer, that takes a lot of time and effort. And though, you know, it's a process that has gone fairly well in terms of just like, I haven't had any trouble once I nail down a candidate to actually speak to them. It's the juggling of that workflow between mine doing all of the rest of what I have to do in this job, which is only made more complicated by council coming back in a weekly schedule now that we are in August and not July when council is on break. And, you know, doing breaking or just day-to-day news coverage compared to you taking all of my time to just interview municipal candidates at their whims, which is to say basically whenever they want to and at their notice. But, you know, of the people that have responded to me expressing interest in an interview, I would say that I have interviewed most of them who have been consistent in getting back to me, to which I will say that if you are a municipal candidate and you are listening and you are thinking, hey, she hasn't spoken to me yet, that might be because you should check your email. And if it's not, if you have sent an email to me and I have not sent one back to you, I have read your email, I know about it, and I will get back to you at some point. Unfortunately, this job is just, you know, very busy, but it's on my radar. And feel free to send me a poke, say, hey, I don't know if you missed it, or if you want to send me times to speak to you, I would be more than happy to arrange that. But speaking of Peterborough City Council, it came back to City Hall, back to Council Chambers for the first time in just about a month this week. There was a general committee meeting right after the day after the stat holiday of the August long weekend on Tuesday, August 4th. And, well, would you believe it? I was there. This time, City Council or the city's public relations and AV staff were actually able to get me a line in directly to the city's audio feed. So I'm probably going to be able to spend more time in council chambers on the nights of council meetings, which I think is ultimately going to be beneficial to my process, you know, to my stories, because it means that being in council chambers, not only do you have the opportunity to pick up, you know, hot mics or comments that people might make thinking their mics are turned off, if those are things that occur, it's also just, I think, good to be in a space that you are reporting on. It gives you an opportunity to sample the mood of the room, if you will. Being in city council chambers is very informative for stories, especially stories about contentious issues, because not only are you able to like feel implicitly the timbre of the, or the tenor rather, of the debate based on, you know, counselors' rhetoric, body language, whatever it might be, you have like a better view of everyone. And that leads to a more, I hesitate to say immersive experience because that makes it sound like a video game. But, you know, you're sitting with members of the audience in the gallery. And there is a certain, I don't know, flexibility afforded by being that close to people and being able to hear what they're saying and leaning over to whisper to their friends and making comment about. But at any rate, so I was at the meeting on Tuesday, August 4th. I'm going to play you a story now from July 31st that I produced last week as a primer for this week's meeting, but I think it is still relevant today just in terms of going through the content of that agenda, because that content will still be relevant at the city council meeting next week, but also because it goes over a little bit about council cycles, and I want to discuss with like you, the listener, a little bit about how city council works, because I really think that there is probably no better time to start paying attention to city council, if you haven't already, than August, just because, like, they've taken a break for a month, they're coming back, and while they have, like, passed a lot of significant, and you could argue even, like, monumental legislation back in June, July, sort of in preparation, in preparation or anticipation of this break, there is, like, that will have more consequence come budget time than it does immediately in August. So you can kind of get eased in and catch up to speed on everything that you might have missed out previously in this budget cycle or this year or whatever, or this term of council, while still having a bit of a slower introduction. So I'm going to play that story for you now. I'm Evan Robbins, Trent Radio's broadcast journalist through the Local Journalism Initiative. After a month-long recess in July, Peterborough City Council will return to council chambers at City Hall on Tuesday, August 4th, for a meeting of their general committee. As a result, outside of waiting for the new council to sit in November, there's perhaps no better time to get caught up and start following municipal politics in Peterborough if you haven't been already. With that in mind, today I'm going to walk you through the items on the August 4th General Committee agenda so that you can stay informed of what's happening in your city, even if you can't make it out to the meeting itself. First off, a bit of context. Peterborough City Council generally sits in a three-week cycle, comprised of a General Committee meeting, a council meeting, and 1 week off. General Committee is the week when council are presented reports and motions for consideration by staff, who are there to answer any questions that they might have. General Committee gives council the opportunity to ask questions, debate amongst themselves, and make a preliminary decision in their voting, which then dictates which motions get submitted to the City Council meeting the following week. Council meetings are where policy is ratified, which is to say approved in earnest. Think of it as not entirely unlike how federal policy needs to go through both the House of Commons and the Senate. Council might express support for a motion at General Committee, only to vote it down the next week after receiving more information. Conversely, some items which garner opposition at General Committee might ultimately swing in favor at Council once councillors have gotten constituent feedback, as we saw with the motion to approve the emergency winter shelter strategy earlier this year. Speaking of feedback, council meetings are also where members of the public have an opportunity to speak to the mayor and council. These are called delegations, and you can register for them ahead of city council meetings on the city's website. Delegates are given 5 minutes to address concerns with anything on the week's agenda to council, who in turn can then ask questions of them. Since August 4th is a general committee meeting, council will be considering a number of motions for recommendation for approval the following week. In the process, they might discuss the contents of the attached reports and express their support for or opposition to their contents. Everything council is looking at on Tuesday is listed and numbered on the agenda, which you can access on the City of Peterborough's website, and relevant reports for each item are attached in the PDF format. Speaking of those items, let's talk about some of the things on the agenda for August 4th. The big item for the Finance and Corporate Support Services is a motion to extend the Peterborough Police Services contract with Cavan Monaghan Township. Peterborough provides contract policing for the adjoining municipalities of Lakefield and Cavan Monaghan, who pay the city to supplement their police services. Cavan Monaghan will pay $1.7 million to Peterborough for its 2026 service contributions, and the motion to be presented at General Committee suggests a one-year extension of that agreement, adjusted for the rate of inflation. Moving on to the Infrastructure Planning and Growth Management portfolio, city staff are recommending the designation of a number of properties under the Ontario Heritage Act. The Peterborough Architectural Conservation Advisory Committee, or PACAC, has recommended the designation of 4 properties, including the old Bell Telephone Building on Hunter Street West and Trent Radio House at the corner of Park Hill and George. There is some sense of urgency to designate these properties, owing to a 2022 amendment to the Ontario Heritage Act, which gives municipalities until the end of this year to designate properties on their heritage registries, whereupon all municipal heritage registries will be cleared and non-designated properties made ineligible for registration for another 5 years. Also, under the planning portfolio, council will receive 2 reports, one on the status of economic development, which the city brought in-house at the end of 2024, and another on a funding application submitted for the Provincial Development Charge Reduction Program, which the city took steps to comply with in June by reducing development charges by 50%. Council will also receive a municipal operations report on the status of the tire recycling program. Changes to Ontario recycling legislation now place the onus for collection and disposal of recyclables on manufacturers, meaning that tire companies are now responsible for recycling all tires collected through the municipal tire disposal program. However, the companies have not been picking up the tires in a timely manner, meaning the municipal waste facility on Bensfort Road is currently holding 2 to 3 times the amount of tires it typically expects. While the report is mostly for council's information, it does highlight a potential recourse to lobby the Association of Municipalities of Ontario, or AMO, to lobby the province to put greater pressure on manufacturers to comply with the new legislation. Finally, Mayor Jeff Leal has submitted a notice of motion for consideration. Think of it like a private member's bill, a motion submitted not as part of a larger city department, but by one of the individual members of council, usually addressing something which falls outside the auspices of regular city business. In this case, Leal wishes to re-examine the possibility of letting businesses open on statutory holidays, and is petitioning his colleagues to direct staff to bring a report in the first quarter of 2027, examining the feasibility of that venture. And that's everything on the agenda for General Committee on August 4th. Council can single out any of these items for debate, though otherwise they will be approved under one motion at the meeting. At that point, the recommendations from the report, i.e., whether or not council supports them, will be submitted to the council meeting agenda on August 10th for final ratification. You can watch the August 4th General Committee meeting in person at Peterborough City Hall or live streamed online on the city's website. To speak to Peterborough City Council at the August 10th council meeting, you can register on the city's website. All right. Let it not be said that Peterborough City Council makes me fall asleep, but let's talk a little bit about what I was talking through in that story. So, the August 4th meeting of Peterborough City Council has come and gone, rendering at least some parts of that story moot, but not entirely. And the reason why is because, like I said before, Peterborough City Council operates in a 3-week cycle. So, we just had General Committee. General Committee is where Peterborough City Council recommends direction to be taken at the next meeting, which is confusingly called City Council. So it's General Committee and then it's City Council. City Council is the one that's binding. That's the one that when a vote passes or fails at City Council, the meeting, not City Council, the entity, the meeting's outcome is binding on the city, on staff, on legislation, whatever it might be, and then the results are implemented, right? So, for instance, the recommendations from the Heritage Board. Let's talk about those. PACAC, the Peterborough Architectural Conservancy, I forget what the full acronym was. You know, normally I do this with a script in front of me. They recommend properties to City Council and they say, hey, here's a list of properties that we think meet the criteria for heritage designation. We want you to consider designating them. Council gets a report that says this is why this property is worthy of consideration for heritage designation, and then they have to vote for or against. Even if council votes to designate a property at general committee, it has to come back the next week, not just so that council can basically have a week, like a built-in buffer of 1 week, in the event that, and this has happened this year, as I think you will recall, if you've been following my work and if you followed the debate on the Carnegie Avenue shelter, where several councillors flipped on that motion after a week. But there's an opportunity, right, for councillors to go out, gather more information, or to just, like, think about it and change their mind. That's part of the reason why there is this built-in buffer a week. And also just because things change, right? The status quo can change in the space of 7 days. And that should be reflected, is the thinking, in council's binding decision. So there's that. But there's also the opportunity, as I mentioned, for people to speak to council at the second meeting. So at council, the council meeting, not council the entity, you can register to speak as a delegation. And then you can go, you have 5 minutes to speak to council. Make your mind heard, say, I agree or I don't agree with this piece of legislation, and you need to speak to a specific motion. So for instance, like if you wanted, you could register and speak to the mayor's notice of motion about working on stat holidays. And you could say, I think the mayor is giving bad reasons for businesses to be permitted to be open on stat holidays. I disagree. I think businesses need to remain closed on stat holidays. Otherwise, stat holidays are a meaningless thing. And, you know, we at Peterborough, I don't know, should respect our Roman Catholic heritage or something. You know, it can be whatever you want. And you show up to council having registered and you say that to council. And that is an opportunity, because delegations are always first on the agenda, for council to sort of like listen to your opinion and go, oh yeah, I hadn't considered that. I think I'll change my mind. You know, I'm not saying that happens a lot of the time, but in theory, it's part of the democratic process, right? So that's the idea. I was actually considering playing the story that I produced this week about Jeff Leal, mayor of Peterborough, moving to let businesses open on stat holidays. That piece went up this morning, but you can listen to it for yourself. It's just 4.5 minutes, but 4.5 minutes is almost exactly the amount of time we have left in this show. So I don't want to sort of derail this by trying to squeeze that in. Let's talk about the outcomes of General Committee. None of the heritage designation suggestions that I mentioned actually went through. Now, the reason for this is because basically when the city is consulting about heritage designations, PACAC recommends whether or not to designate them based on the architectural characteristics of the property. However, the owner of the property can submit a statement to the city saying that they, whether or not they agree with the decision to designate. So in this case, there were four properties. There was the Bell Building on Hunter Street. There was Trent Radio House, where I'm broadcasting to you from now. There was the Old Stone School, owned by the Roman, by the Church of St. Peter in Chains. And there was another building that I, you know, maybe it says something about its architectural character if I don't remember which building it was. But nevertheless, so there were four buildings on the agenda. All of the owners lodged disputes and said, we don't want this designated. So council, historically speaking, has basically just honored that. So none of those went through. It was a very, very, like, blow by blow, just Dave Hakey, who is one of the Heritage portfolio chairs, I believe, would verbally would move the motion and then say, like, verbally whether or not the owner had agreed, and then the vote would go through, and basically whatever, which in this case was always against whatever the owner had expressed their wish to be met, was honored. So that was interesting. The Tire Report, nothing much of interest to say there, passed unanimously on consent, as did the Cavan Monaghan contract extension. The two big items from the meeting, besides the notice of motion from Mayor Jeff Leal, were the city's economic development report and the prudent investment plan. So those are things that I would say, look out, follow Trent Radio, you know, over the next couple of days. If you listen to the news spots at 7:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. every day, you will probably be hearing stories about those two items in rotation within the next couple of days. And if you follow on news.trentradio.ca, it's likely that you'll see me post something about them today or tomorrow or Monday. Depending on what happens, one at City Council next week, but also just like in terms of my schedule for reporting, because those were the big items of debate this week. So stay tuned for more of that. And thank you for listening to Switchboard this week. My name is Evan Robbins. I am the broadcast journalist for Trent Radio through the Local Journalism Initiative, and I'm broadcasting to you through the facilities of Trent Radio, 92.7 FM in Peterborough, CFFF-FM. Thank you so much for listening. I do this show every week at 5 p.m. Eastern on Thursdays, and it repeats on Sundays at a time I still don't know off the top of my head. So just listen, and you can find full archives of this show on news.trentradio.ca. Thank you so much.